Today's reading is from Matthew 14, 27 to 33. You can turn to Matthew 14, 27, 33 in your Bible, or turn to page 796 in the Bibles provided. Verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You may be seated, and the children may go to children's church.
How do we walk on water? Many believe the story's not even true. It's merely a metaphor for life. And I would agree, yes, it is a metaphor for life. But I also believe that Jesus truly walked on water. And how are we to do so? I may never see someone literally walk on water like Jesus, even though I believe he did. But the question is, how will we deal with the difficulty with the waves in our life? How will we handle them? How do we live a victorious life in spite of the many difficulties before us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as we read your word, seeing the need for faith in our life, seeing the waves and difficulties coming up against the disciples. And Lord, as your disciples today, we pray for your victorious life. We pray for your ability to walk on the waves in our life. We pray this in your holy name, Lord. Amen. And amen. I would say one of the first ways that we can walk on water spiritually, and if the need ever be literally, begins with prayer and solitude. Beginning in Matthew 14, 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dispersed the crowds. His friend and fellow minister of the good news, John the Baptist, had just been killed. But not just killed, he had been beheaded purposefully with malice. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. The crowds followed him. Maybe many did not know the anguish he was in. We're not sure if the disciples truly appreciated the grieving of his heart. But he knew he needed to get away and be alone. He was seeking solitude, a time to pray. Now, I would say there is a difference between solitude and loneliness, between being alone and being lonely. For instance, when I was single, I was alone very often, and I was lonely. One of the pastors, who had been married since he was 19, would sometimes joke, "Well, you know how it is on a Sunday night as we have our home group. We have a good time, and then we're done, and we're vacuuming and cleaning up, and we're usually vacuuming and cleaning up around the singles or asking them to help us." Well, see, if you've been single for a year or two or 5 years, or you're 28 and still single, whereas he was married at the age of 19, he just didn't understand. To go home on a Sunday night and be home alone again gets to be lonely. And as I was one of those singles, I was alone on a Sunday night. I could be alone on a Saturday night. I was alone a lot. And I will tell you that at times I was alone, and at times I was lonely. Now I'm married and have kids. I enjoy being alone much more. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my kids. And my wife's the same way sometimes. We just like to be alone. We seek solitude. Let me tell you, when I was single, I never sought solitude. It found me all the time. I would say I am hardly ever, if at all, lonely. I am blessed to have my kids and my wife. But I like solitude. And I appreciate solitude in a way that is much different than when I was single and alone and young. My guess, if I was single and older, I would still probably appreciate solitude in a different way. You see, there are times when we need to get alone, the peace and quiet, to pray, to seek God, to have that time where we can rest and we're not just always going. I would say when I was in college, I was never alone. There's always friends, there's always a party, there's always something to do. I was never alone, and I did not seek solitude. Then I was single and I was always alone, and I did not seek solitude. Now, as married, more mature in the faith, having kids, having fellowship all around me, friends, I've understood what Jesus was doing. He was getting away. I'm not saying I'm Christ-like. I won't go that far. I want to be. But I understood the need to get away, to be alone, to a contemplative life, to rest and relax in the Lord. I believe solitude nourishes the soul. Not being lonely, but solitude. It refreshes the mind and the body. Some people feel they need to go off to the mountains. I just want to get to my rocking chair. If I lay down on my bed, I might fall asleep. But there's something about being in the backyard in the autumn with the leaves falling down, the crisp feel of the air, to be able to just sit back there and rest and relax and think about life, what the Lord's doing. To not just pray, but to actually kind of converse and say, Lord, why this? Or how's this? Or what do I do with that, Lord? Which in a way is a type of prayer. And after he'd sent the crowd away, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. It is good to be alone with the Lord, to seek solitude. It prepares us for the responsibilities and difficulties of life. If we want to be able to walk on water, we need to seek prayer and solitude. But let me tell you something. Walking on water is not for wimps, or even trying to learn to walk on water is not for those who are looking for a life of ease and comfort. In verse 24, meanwhile, the boat was already far from land, was taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. Now, these were roughened sailors. They had been on the Sea of Galilee, which I believe is where they are. Storms are known to come up quickly. They had seen their fair share of storms. So these are tough fishermen. In verse 25, as the night was ending, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out so with fear. You know, they can handle waves, they can handle the water beating down on them, but if they're to see an apparition or a ghost, it's like, that's just too much. You know, we all have that line in the sand, we'll only go so far. And I think seeing a ghost on the water was one of them. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. He knew probably what was in their hearts and expected as such. And he said, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Fear not." Now, at least 5 to 10 times a year, you'll hear me talk on the terms fear not, because it's often in the Bible. And when the Bible says fear not, there's usually a good reason, because there is something to fear. If things are going well, people don't generally say fear not. It's when things are scary, when the waves are high, that we hear fear not, because he's saying to us, don't look at the circumstances. I'm here. You have nothing to fear. But in this time, actually, there was nothing to fear, because it wasn't a ghost. It was the Lord. But they didn't know that at first. And then Peter, the impetuous one, says, "Lord, if it's you, you know, tell me or order me to come and walk out in the water." Think about that. You know, he's just realized who it is. The seas are bad and Jesus is out there. And he says, "You know, I'm going to join you." He's like, if Jesus is in it, I'm there. That's a great attitude to have. You know, if that's the Lord, I'm willing to go out. If it's not, I'm staying in the boat. You know, you don't want to get out there if it's not the Lord. It's tough enough if it is the Lord. And you can tell the other ones weren't exactly chiming in. They're probably sitting there, that dude's crazy. It's not like, oh, he's the leader, let's follow. It's like, I'm staying right here. So he said, "Come, Peter." He's like, "Yes, Peter, join me." Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Again, Peter's like, if Jesus says jump, I say, how high? Now, you know, if you know the Peter of the Bible, he's easy to make fun of. You know, "Lord, I won't deny you." You know, within 24 hours, 3 times. He was the one that was known to have a big mouth. You know, 1 minute Jesus says, "This has been good, Peter. Only God could show you this." And a minute later, he's calling Peter the devil, rebuking him. You know, Peter was just a roller coaster ride. And it's easy to make fun of him, because he's just like us. But look what Peter did. Well, maybe not. But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid, and starting to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And again, see, Peter, see what your big mouth gets you? You're going to drown. But I think, even though I may never walk on water like Jesus, it is a metaphor for life. And yes, it's easy to make fun of Peter and say, "You're going to get drowned." I mean, the other disciples are probably like, "Yeah, big shot. You want to be Jesus' pet? Look where that's going to get you." Of course, we're all doing that while we're sitting in the boat. It's easy to sit in the boat and give advice. I'm not saying that the disciples were doing that. I'm just guessing there's a good chance they were. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, it sounds kind of harsh, but it's a teachable moment. It's a didactic moment where the Lord can say, little faith. Because again, remember, this is the same Lord Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you don't need that much. And he didn't rebuke him for getting out, but he said, you got to have faith. I don't think Jesus was mad at all. I think he was tickled that Peter would jump out of the boat, was willing to be there with him. Yes, he faltered. But Jesus didn't say, too little faith. Yeah, get out of here. No, he kept him. And it's kind of like saying, you little faith, I'm glad you got out of the boat and we got more things to do. We got to keep building your faith. And you know, he didn't rebuke the other disciples for not getting out. You see, for the difficulties of life, we're going to need faith. We're going to be needing to get out of the boat. And some of us might not have to. I never know who's who. Or is it the fact that of all those in the boat, Peter was willing to jump in and meet Jesus where he's at? Nothing wrong with staying in the boat. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's better to get out of the boat and join Jesus. I think there's a challenge there for all of us. And that's why I'd say, walking on water is not for the faint of heart, not for those who seek comfort in life. I've said this 100 times. I like comfort. But we don't grow in comfort. Good athletes don't become better athletes in comfort. We're challenged to do more, to go further, to get out of the boat. When Jesus says jump, we say, how high? So, how do we walk on water? When do we know when to get out of the boat? You know, here's my question. When is it stupid and when is it faith? I'm thinking when Jesus or when Peter got out, the disciples are saying, that's stupid. But then Jesus didn't say that's stupid. He said, no, we just need a little more faith. You know, ye have little faith. But you only need a mustard seed. It's like, ooh, he's got big faith. Jesus is like, just need a little. And he never chastised Peter like, yeah, you just got to keep building. It's like, yes, Peter was beginning to sink. Jesus didn't ignore the fact. He's teaching him. So how do you know if it's stupid and how do you know if it's faith? Well, by your fruit, you'll know them. You know, Peter's fruit kind of let him down a little bit. He began to sink, but he kept building. He kept working. He kept following the Lord. He didn't let a little drowning experience set him back. Now, I can tell you, in the orchard of life, in the garden of life, some of my fruit has been green for decades. It just hasn't ripened yet. You know, it takes a while for us to see what something is. You know, Peter saw it immediately. He began to sink. Well, he also walked on water immediately. You got to give the guy credit for that. Sometimes we don't know when we get out of the boat what's going to happen. We don't know what our fruit's going to be. I'll give the classic example when I was married and had one child and went back to school. I was leaving a job at the VA Medical Center. I'd been there for 14 years. I mean, I was on the cusp of 15 and some more benefits kick in, and I like benefits. I've never heard anyone in the job say, no, I don't want that extra week of vacation. You just keep that raise. I've never seen that. Maybe you have. And I was willing to kick in. I'm leaving like in July, August, and October is my 15th year. I had a guy tell me, he goes, Doug, you're crazy. You know, you can appreciate his honesty. The man wasn't a believer. He was looking just physically at the world, what I was doing, what I had. And he said, Doug, you're crazy. And I'm going to admit to you, months later, years later, I sometimes agreed with him. Lord, I think I'm starting to sink here. Where's your hand? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes Christy and I really didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We jumped out of the boat in faith, and sometimes I think we began to sink a little. And my brother admitted the same thing to me. He goes, you know, Doug, when you first made that and you told me what you were doing, you know, were you having a midlife crisis? You know, you had one kid, you know, have a wife. You had a really good government job. Retirement, pay, you want to have more kids, insurance, all the things you kind of take for granted on one of those kind of jobs. And again, there's days that, you know, I would agree with my brother, like, yeah, my brother was right. But, you know, my brother, he came back to me later said, I see what you're doing. I see how God's moved in your life. I see how you and Christy needed to get out in the boat and walk on water. I didn't see it at first. You know, Are you willing to walk on water? Am I again? I just can't live on it. Well, Lord, I did that once. I'm done. You know, sometimes the Lord wants us to get out of the boat more times than I care to acknowledge. Is he asking you to get out of the boat? Are you looking back in your life sometimes and say, yeah, I was supposed to get out of the boat and I just stayed put. Well, you know, there's these famous words. It's never too late. God hasn't quit on you. You might say, well, I missed that opportunity. It's over. I'm done. I'm just retiring in the Lord. There is no retirement in the Lord. If you leave today and go, Lord, what would you have me do? You might be a little nervous because he might be saying, well, here's an opportunity to get out of the boat and walk in faith. It's never too late. It's time for you to walk on water. The challenges are new every day. We never know what the Lord's going to do. In verse 32, when they went up to the boat, the wind ceased. Then there were those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Peter got out. He almost drowned. Some stayed in. But they would be asked to get out of the boat later. And when the Lord, I think it's a metaphor too, following the Lord brought peace. It wasn't going to last all the time because they would have other rough times. But when they put their faith in the Lord, the sea calmed. There was rest. And they worshiped him. Prayer, solitude, worship are all part of being able to walk on water. And after they crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. When the people there recognized him, they sent word into all the surrounding areas. They brought all their sick to him. They begged him if they could only touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. See, these people didn't know about the sea, the Galilee, John the Baptist. But they, in faith too, they jumped out of the boat and said, I'm going to find Jesus. I've heard he heals people. I'm going to jump in. I'm all in to find him. I'm going to beg him. They weren't going to say, hey, you're going to heal me? Okay, that's all right, I quit. They begged. They asked. If we want to walk on water, we need prayer. We need solitude. We need worship. And we need to keep seeking Jesus Christ. Other words say, ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. It's not just a one-time thing. We're called to continuously seek after him. I mean, sometimes we get beaten down. We're like, I quit. You know what? You might have quit. I might have quit. But the Lord never quits on us. He's there. Get up. Take my hand. Yeah, I know you're beaten down. Yeah, I know you feel like you drowned. There's plenty of rough seas ahead for us to go together. You know the old saying, a good sailor is not made on calm seas. So when the Lord says, you want to go learning how to sail? You want to learn how to walk on water? I've got lots of sea, lots of life, lots of difficulties ahead. Do you want to join me? It's never too late. They went after him for healing out of faith. Are we willing to seek the Lord? Are we willing to even contemplate walking on water? Are we willing to say, Lord, when you say jump, how high? Are we willing to learn through our failures when we do start to sink, when we do want comfort, or if we didn't get out of the boat when we should have, to come back tomorrow and say, I'm all in, Lord. Take my hand. We are all called to walk on water with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us take these words to heart, to walk on water with you, for you, to advance your kingdom and not our own. Lord, bless us and call us. Lord, give us the strength to step out. Lord, give us the wisdom to always reach for your hand when we're drowning, to not turn away from you, but to turn towards you. Lord, let us be a people of boldness and grace. willing to follow you wherever you go, on the calm seas and the rough seas. Let us be your disciples to take these words to heart. We pray this, Almighty God, our Father and Creator. We pray this empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.